My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you are listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Izzy House hosts a great podcast called The Space Marketing Podcast. Izzy, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Space Marketing Podcast is where we explore marketing principles, strategies, and tactics through the lens of space. I talk space with some very interesting industry professionals about their challenges and successes with marketing in the new commercial space economy. This show is for business leadership, entrepreneurs, and the space curious.
Wow. And where in the universe can people subscribe?
All of the major channels. And you can also find it on MPN and spacemarketingpodcast.com.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story.
My guest this week is Brett Hyman.
There is an opportunity, if strategized correctly, to really use brand experiences to now reach, engage, and invite a much larger audience to participate in the brand story.
Brett Hyman is the president, CEO, and founder of NVE Experience Agency, a privately owned brand experience and production company with offices in Los Angeles, New York, and London. Guided by 16 years of global agency and brand leadership experience, along with the principle that the right moment will transform someone forever, Hyman leads NVE's team of cross-industry experts to deliver culturally connected campaigns and transformative experiences for some of the world's most iconic brands and Fortune 500 companies, including Amazon, Anheuser-Busch, Apple, Pandora, Lincoln Motor Company, Hennessy, Tinder, Twitter, AT&T, PlayStation, and more. Brett, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
I am excited to chat. You know, nestled there within a impressive bio is that little line of the right moment that will transform someone forever. I'm curious. Tell me more about the right moment. I want to make sure I find it.
The right moment. I mean, for me, the right moment and the way that we really define it is that moment when a consumer feels a deeper and more meaningful connection with the brand that we're creating an experience around. That moment, you know, we have all these different types of moments throughout our lives. Some people call them defining moments or milestones or moments of elevation or insight. And however you define it, it's that time that it transcends the memorable and even transcends the meaningful and really becomes the transformative, something where from that moment forward, you have a different opinion, a different outlook, a different insight, a different feeling about a brand, a person, a relationship, et cetera. In my company, NVE, we seek to really craft those moments, both utilizing the experiential tools as well as everything in between, all of the new services and capabilities that we have.
So you mentioned what we'll call the E word of experience, because it's vast, and I think it could easily be the entire episode. But talk to me about, because I feel like there's a dynamic at play here, because we've been talking about moments.
Mm-hmm. And a moment, by definition, is a small unit, and an experience can be vast. So what is the interplay, the dynamic between moments and experiences?
That's an incredible question. A moment, an experience, is made up of a lot of moments. And unfortunately, not all experiences have great moments. There tend to be a lot of peaks and troughs, but the human brain tends to remember the peaks and also remember the most recent elements, the last kind of final part of the timeline, better than they do the troughs. You know, you go to Disneyland, for example, and I can promise you that not every moment in that experience is a peak moment. There are sometimes really hot suns. If you're bringing your child, there may be some crying. And even so, even beyond that, you still reflect on Disneyland as likely a positive experience because the peaks were so much higher and the really exciting moments were really special. So when we craft experiences, we understand that not every element of the experience is fully in our control. There's tons and tons of variables, especially in the live experience space, that are just out of our control. For example, what other guests do at an experience, what performances or performers do at an experience, sometimes there are hundreds of staff members and one doesn't follow the protocol or the script or act exactly aligned to the brand. So there's always going to be these variables that are out of our control as the people that are crafting the experience. So my job and, you know, NVE's focus is to create peak moments within that experience that really do transcend the memorable and even the meaningful into that transformative stratosphere.
In thinking about what this looks like, I'm reminded of our pre-show conversation, and you talked about being at Comic-Con, and I feel like that is, you know, it's top of mind with the Disney geography and peaks and troughs, but it's experiences within experiences. How do you create an experience that can stand out in, I mean, Comic-Con itself is a crowded ecosystem, but I would say at a glance, it's not unlike any number of ecosystems that it's hard today to stand out among all the noise.
Yeah, at Comic-Con, it has really become the entertainment industry Super Bowl brand activation moment, fan experience, mega event. That's for sure true. I've been doing Comic-Con events maybe 12, 13 years. And I remember, you know, it started out as some cool parties like the IGN party and the fandom party. And then slowly the activations got bigger and bigger and brands realize that there's an enormous number of very passionate fans that are at these, you know, at Comic-Con. And what's interesting is these fans leave and they really do move the needle on the brand itself. They go and buy tickets to see the film, or they tell a lot of friends, share experiences, and it really does have an impact on how a movie, you know, pre-sales tickets, or how a new video game gets buzz on social media. So there's a lot of value in going big at Comic-Con. And, you know, not everyone can. So the question is, absolutely, how do you stand out? For me, there's so many different directions that you can go. This year, I'm so proud and in love with the experience that we crafted for Paramount for their new Dungeons and Dragons movie that's coming out in March of 2023. And we took a more lighthearted approach and we created a tavern that, you know, was supposed to look like a bar from the medieval era, similar to the theme of the movie, with a ton of scenic and fabrication. and surprised everyone when a dragon attacked it. So for me this year, the focus was moments of surprise. For others, it was really capturing their fandom about a specific title or a specific brand or property. I think that what has to be decided early on to stand out in Comic-Con is whether your focus is the fans or the masses, because there's always going to be a line around the block of fans for whatever show, movie, video game, or brand you're promoting. But I was really interested in attracting new fans, people who maybe hadn't played Dungeons and Dragons before, people who hadn't seen, you know, past movies or really experienced that brand, because it's a fairly legacy brand. And we attracted a really wider demographic than just focusing on super fans. That really made it stand out. And that was a really effective play for that particular brand. And for other brands, they play into the lore and story, and they extend on existing lore that exists in their shows or in their movies and create immersive or digital or IRL experiences or give away fan prizes and special giveaways. And it really does move the needle and create a lot of really positive buzz. So that's been, my experience with Comic-Con, and we loved being there this year and loved it. It was the first one in 2 years. I hadn't come back in a while. So yeah, there was a lot of pent up demand.
Well, that's awesome. And I was speaking of Comic-Con and Paramount. I was watching from afar as a lifelong Star Trek fan. So,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. They had that too.
So lots of excitement there, but I'm intrigued by this idea of fans versus masses, because I think, you know, obviously in talking about entertainment and entertainment properties and brands, you know, it seems like a very logical conversation, but I feel like at the risk of being one of those branding and marketing hacks, I feel like there's a bigger story that when we think about lots of different types of brands, that conversation of fans versus masses is relevant. I mean, I think in a general sense, you know, it always pays to be as specific as possible, but I think that's kind of a larger question that can direct strategy also, can't it?
Well, in experience marketing and experiential 1.0, and we can talk a lot about how my agency is really designed to be experiential 2.0, but 1.0 had a really expensive price per person. It was just known as this luxury form of marketing because it costs a lot to reach a smaller group of people. And then PR came out, and PR started to help amplify the story of an experience. And that really helped supercharge experiential to have a wider audience. And then now we're entering this new area where NVE is focused on making experiential more integrated. And in fact, I'm trying to decide if we need to decouple ourselves from the word experiential, because it's so in our industry, so associated with live event, with production, with execution, which is absolutely a big part of it. However, we have this opportunity right now to use experiential not to just reach a small kind of inner circle of fans about any brand. And that could be fans of Coca-Cola, fans of Apple, fans of Adidas, and, you know, or fans of shows, and instead invite new fans to actually discover these brands and have new, unique, memorable, maybe even transformative experiences with those brands by making experiential more integrated and more inclusive. And that's two different strategies there. And on the integrated side, there are a lot of interactive layers that we're adding in at, you know, this moment. And, you know, a lot of people thought live streaming was going to be the answer. That was, again, probably a 1.0 strategy where it was like, you know, everyone was like, no, we should live stream this event. We didn't take to that because we realized that no one wants to watch an event of other people having fun. That is not an engagement tactic. Oh, let's live stream the Comic-Con event. Are you crazy? You want someone to sit at home on their computer and potentially another state or another country watching people enjoy an experience? That's not how, you know, to create or digitize physical experiences. What you can do is create parallel digital experiences designed for people who are not physically present and try to have intersections and interactions between those worlds. Now we can do that. One way to do that is with AR lenses or apps. A lot of microsites are being built that can allow people to have a digital version of the experience. We really took this capability on during the pandemic when there were no live events at all. So we built out an interactive team called Cognition that just creates the digital side of an experience that people can go through journeys with brands, with characters, whether it's with chatbots or with microsites or with AR lenses, and have what feels like a really interesting experience with the brand, all built through the lens of people who produce live experiences. So that's one side. The other side is the branded content side. There is an opportunity to create meaningful, engaging, relevant content, both for experiences and from experiences. So we have a content production side now that's creating a lot of the content that can live past the event and be more than just a recap of an experience, but instead an entire social media program that can live for weeks, potentially months, and really engage a wider and bigger audience. We did that on the Super Bowl for GoPuff this year. So that's another side of how we layer in. And then at the same time, we have to understand all of the new available tools and how they tie into an experience. We opened up a creator marketing practice that allows us to invite the right creators and influencers so that we can amplify an authentic narrative from the experience through the lens or through the perspective of creative people who have big audiences. And again, really supercharge what traditional 1.0 experiential used to be. So, in answering your question, there is an opportunity, if strategized correctly, to really use brand experiences to now reach, engage, and invite a much larger audience to participate in the brand story.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you are listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Izzy House hosts a great podcast called The Space Marketing Podcast. Izzy, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Space Marketing Podcast is where we explore marketing principles, strategies, and tactics through the lens of space. I talk space with some very interesting industry professionals about their challenges and successes with marketing in the new commercial space economy. This show is for business leadership, entrepreneurs, and the space curious.
Wow. And where in the universe can people subscribe?
All of the major channels. And you can also find it on MPN and spacemarketingpodcast.com.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So I love all of that, and especially some of the push and pull on the different labels, because listeners of the show know I have a love-hate relationship with the labels in our industry.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought it would be good if you're game to do like a lightning round, like best definition on some of these things, because I think especially with experience. So if you've got a sentence or so for some of these different labels, that would be handy. So the first one that I scribbled down, we've got activation, A, at the beginning of this little list.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. This is like a fun game. Okay.
Well, I thought of it on the fly, so it's not a big list, but I am starting with A. So activation, best definition.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm sure the old 1.0 definition of our industry or the connotation that exists for activation is physical build out in some, you know, at some place in time. My version of activation would be how a brand tells its story in the real world.
Huh. Okay.
I could do 30 minutes on that.
Oh, yeah. I like it. So next alphabetically, we're only going to be on the front end of the alphabet, is experience. And I know that sounds elementary, but you've flown home. You've got aunt or great aunt, and you're explaining what it is that experience is at its most basic. What is brand experience?
Brand experience is how a consumer believe or what a consumer believes they will feel when interacting with or thinking about the brand. So it's not the physical experience they had, like, oh, that tasted good. It's what we think we're going to have when we buy an Hermes bag or when we engage with, you know, a really cool new sporting event. It's what we think about the brand more so than what we actually do with the brand.
Okay. So now maybe this is a sub entry of the experience entry, but I know there's folks out there listening. There's been great definitions here. If they remember, oh, he was really smart. He was talking about experience 1.0 and experiential 2.0, but I can't remember what's the difference. If there's a, what would the sub entry be on, or what's the divide between 1.0 and 2.0?
Experiential 1.0, if we're using, you know, is what a brand is going to do. And 2.0 is how, where, and why they're going to do it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Love it.
I mean, you know, thinking out loud, and it's how, and I wouldn't even just say how they're going to do it. It's how brands show up for their customers and build a deeper and more meaningful relationship with their customer than any other form of marketing. And I'm biased, but
I love it. I love it. So going alphabetically from E to I, and relevant with where they show up, but another label that you mentioned was integrated. So what, and that's because you mentioned, like, I struggle, should we include experience? Because it's really about being integrated. And integrated, I feel like, almost carries some of the same baggage as experience. So what's integrated mean today?
It is so, it is so true. Like, we were messing around with the word integrated, and as we were rewriting our capabilities deck and our website and saying, well, this is what the 2.0 version of integrated means. You're right. I have a completely different definition of it. And integrated to me is embedding cultural insights, it's embedding strategic insights cultural empathy and inclusive values into marketing. And those are three areas that allow marketing to really be genuine, authentic, and impactful to the consumer. So to me, that's the integrated side. Everyone has a variety of tools and analytics and vehicles, but they are not creating it through the lens of the human.
Yeah.
So integrated is the human side of marketing, which people who design events or people who design experiences with strategy in mind, I think have the best empathy to understand that human side of marketing.
And you spoke so eloquently about that. It's almost as though you've been wordsmithing that for a capabilities deck.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And the last definition in all of these different words that we struggle with is interactive. I feel like there was this window of time and everything. If you wanted to differentiate, it's XYZ interactive. Where does that fall into any of this?
That's a really good one.
Or is it? Or you could just put it back in the file drawer. Maybe we don't need it anymore.
Interactive allows us to transcend the boundaries of events and allow consumers to use technology to extend their experience in a digital, meta, interactive way.
Okay, that was good. No,
I'm gonna have to listen to this after and write that down.
luckily, someone is recording this conversation. No, and even with you didn't even take the take the pass on that one. So definitely fascinating. Well, these definitions have been great, Brett, and I know because how we talk about this stuff is important, and our words aren't always as helpful as they should be. But those definitions I know will help. I want to make sure I mention that NVE has won Ad Age's Experiential Small Agency of the Year. So big kudos there as well. And I want to use an aspect of that because we're talking about some big things, big brands, big experiences and activations. If there's someone out there listening and thinking about this and they are a small brand, a small business in their own right, they could be nodding along and thinking, gosh, this sounds important. I just don't know how an experience applies to a small business. How would you get small with experience?
I think, you know, I live in West Hollywood. I live very close to all the like big sneaker, Supreme, Fairfax hype universe. And I think about some of these long lines I see down Fairfax and for, you know, people waiting for a new shoe and things like that. And what I've started to learn as I've stopped by these stores is a lot of these brands are quite small that get 200 kids in line at 6 a.m. for a t-shirt or for a shoe. Or, you know, the shoes are generally bigger brands, but a t-shirt, a skateboard. And there's one central kind of theme about how those brands are doing it. And it's a phrase that, you know, makes me feel like I'm not 38 to say, but it's, quote, for the culture. Brands need to understand that they have to create marketing experiences that accurately represent the diverse makeup of the people that they serve. And it doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be big budget. It's fun when it is. NVE prefers it when it is. But reality is some of the brands started by being authentically for the culture. We did a lot of work, 8-9 years ago, on Beats by Dre. And no one really thought Beats by Dre was going to ultimately be acquired by Apple for $3 billion. This was a brand that was creating content, creating experiences. They were very much a challenger brand early on. I worked with them and for the culture and for the diverse audience that they wanted to represent. So I would say, don't even worry about big. Make it real, make it genuine, and make it authentic, and the buzz will take you to the stratosphere.
I love that. That don't make it big, make it real. That's, yeah. I think, great advice, and I think the big is easy to see, but the real, the culture and the examples that you plugged in there are certainly ones that you can see. So you mentioned a couple of brands in there, and now, Brett, it is my thrill. I've asked a lot of you with all of these definitions. Maybe this will be a little more light. I get to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Such a tough question because I'm such a fan of so many different types of brands. And also, it really feels like the time of the day matters and where, you know, what brand makes me smile. I think that I have to be biased a little bit, but the experience, I've been doing this. This is the only job I've ever had. I started this agency out of my dorm room in college. So I've been, you know, when I say I've been doing this for 15 years, it's just the thing I've done my entire, you know, adult life, more or less. But in all my time, I've never had so much fun than creating my Dungeons and Dragons experience at Comic-Con last week for Paramount. It was both a challenging event to create. It involved 50 actors and script writing and special effects and CGI and interactive and digital components and tons of scenic. It was like I made a movie last week and told a story. And the videos that are coming out and the story that's coming out from that experience has kept a smile on my face for the last 7 days since I showed up to Comic-Con. And I hope that brands see what we did and want to have fun again. Everyone, you know, there were many really big Comic-Con experiences that will be reported on that were very serious and very took the script and the show seriously, and they were scary and okay, cool, great. We can do that. I want brands to remember that we're here to have fun. And I know they all have important jobs to do. They have a lot of product to sell, et cetera. But the reality is the consumer wants to have fun. And if you're not fun, ultimately, you're probably going to be commoditized. And that would be what my smiling moment for the last week is. And something that was very transformative for me, and I will be recommending that to our clients and partners and friends and everyone I can talk to on every, you know, on a podcast like this, let's make it fun. Let's keep it fun. We have that opportunity. So that was my smile.
Ah, I love that. That's a great, smile for all the reasons that you mentioned, made even more awesome by the fact that it's nearby temporarily, that it's something that just happened. So yeah. Awesome. And keeping it fun, a good lesson in there also. Brett, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
They can absolutely come to our website, experiencenve.com. I'm also extremely prolific on LinkedIn. I share a lot both about NVE, this kind of evolution of marketing in general, as well as experiential marketing, but also my journey as an entrepreneur. I, you know, put a lot of content out about what it's like to have a company that has close to 200 people. We don't have investors or people who funded it. We are completely grown organically from my dorm room in college. And, you know, I'm always also in love with chatting with other entrepreneurs who are finding their way, whether it's in marketing and advertising or other incredible businesses. That's the other half of me, which drives me, is just being passionate about building businesses and creating a culture now for, you know, millennials and Gen Z and young people who look to have more purpose in their work. And that's what I spend a lot of my time on, is not just, you know, I'm not close to our events as much anymore. I'm building our company. So you can find me on, you know, LinkedIn, on, and you just search my name, or definitely our website, or bretthyman.com, which is my website where I share a little bit more of my personal journey.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Brett, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. This is great. Awesome.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you are listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Izzy House hosts a great podcast called The Space Marketing Podcast. Izzy, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Space Marketing Podcast is where we explore marketing principles, strategies, and tactics through the lens of space. I talk space with some very interesting industry professionals about their challenges and successes with marketing in the new commercial space economy. This show is for business leadership, entrepreneurs, and the space curious.
Wow. And where in the universe can people subscribe?
All of the major channels. And you can also find it on MPN and spacemarketingpodcast.com.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.